Thank you, Diane. I love that story. I love that story. When one of us gets hurt, what do? We abandon each other? No, we stick together. We support one another. Beautiful. Okay, so I have a story to tell y'all. When I was a child, probably about 9, I'm gonna guess about 9 years old, I wanted to be a bird. People ask me all the time, if you had a superpower, what would it be? Normally it's teleportation. That I have two boys, so I think I've been asked, what is my superpower? I have no idea so many times, but teleportation would be number one, and flying would be number two. So when I was a child, I wanted to fly through the sky like the birds. And so I decided I was going to give it a shot. And I had figured out that if I just put my mind to it, no problem. I was going to be able to accomplish this. And I ultimately believed I could do it. But I knew I needed to propel myself in some way. And I knew jumping off the roof probably wasn't the best idea to do that. And so I saw that my brothers had built a bike ramp. Do y'all know what a bike ramp is? I don't even know if kids make bike ramps anymore, but it is essentially a piece of plywood that you put bricks under. Very safe, like the safest. So I remember very specifically looking down the sidewalk and running down the sidewalk and running up on this bike ramp and leaping off of it, knowing, just knowing, that I was going to take flight. Well, guess what? Didn't happen. I fell straight down on my face, busted my chin open, chipped my teeth. My parents were not happy with me after that because that meant a trip to the dentist, and they have spent a lot of money on these pearly whites. So it turns out that I cannot fly. Wah, wah. But I do believe that I can fly metaphorically. We all can fly metaphorically. So birds, they're fascinating creatures and they capture our intense interests. I will note, some people do not really like birds. I've seen the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds, and that's enough motivation to be a little bit wary of birds for sure. My mother-in-law, she absolutely hates birds because of some traumatic experience that she had as a child. But I've heard from most other people that they enjoy birds. I know in Sarasota, we had a bird watching club. I don't know if y'all have that in y'all's congregation or not, but they would go out and watch birds. And there's poems and songs and stories about birds, and there's so much we can learn from them. And so this morning, I am going to share with you some lessons for birds. So lesson one, spend time in nature. Now, this has been a little more difficult the past few months. At least here in Florida, the parks and the beaches and things like that were closed. They have since been reopening, but in my humble opinion, they should probably be closed again. But it's more than that. It can be simple. It's just taking a walk in your neighborhood, noticing the plants and the animals around you, and not just being holed up inside of your house, which I admit I have done that quite a bit. But you can just walk outside. So many people, if you talk to them, talk about, even if you don't have a theistic point of view of God, you know, we are a very religiously diverse community. But you have this connection, am I right? Like a lot of people feel connected when they are in nature. And so I encourage you to get out there. I envy the birds. They are surrounded by the beautiful natural world all the time, except for when it's like 100 degrees outside. It literally was 100 degrees outside the other day. And then I'm quite grateful for my air conditioner, and then I can stay inside. I'm okay with that. So, lesson number two, be present and aware of your surroundings. So this thing here, this phone, I encourage you to put it down. Y'all might not be like me, but I have noticed that I will go outside with my dog Mickey, and instead of looking around at the lizards, we got tons of lizards in cats and squirrels and whatnot. A lot of times I'm just like scrolling Facebook or checking my email or, goodness sakes, looking at the news. Y'all don't do that if you can help it. Just try to limit the amount of news you are consuming right now because it will drive you completely insane. So put your phone down. Look beyond your phone into the beauty around you. Be present and look at it with like a childlike wonder. It'll make you feel good. Lesson three, spend time with your flock and enjoy good company. So birds, you've seen them in their flocks. They seek strength and sustenance from one another, which teaches us how important it is for us to keep our friends and our family close by as we navigate our days. Now, here's where I'm going to completely contradict what I just said in lesson two about putting your phone down and taking it away from your face. I want you to actually pick up your phone and put it in front of your face. Apparently, you can use these things to like call people. I don't know if y'all knew that. There's like digits, and instead of just texting, I'm a texter. But you can actually like call people and talk to them. My mother certainly appreciates that when I call her, because if I don't call every 3 days, she's like, why haven't you called me? She freaks out. So call your family, call your friends. And if you have friends and family that have not called you, call them. Just check on them, see how they're doing. Us extroverts, we're not okay. We are not okay. Trust me. So reach out to people. Stay connected. This is amazing that we have this technology that we can use to stay connected. So I encourage you. And if you can get together and socially distance and be with one another, do that, because we need our flock. It has taken a toll on us, as y'all all know, to be so isolated from one another. Lesson four, when something's not right, warn the others. There's this great story I heard several years ago about sentinels. And sentinels are birds that live in the woods. And if something is not right, if something that's going on that's not right, whether it's a fire or something's coming into the forest, a predator or whatever, one sentinel will cry out to another sentinel, and then it'll go throughout the entire forest that there is trouble. We, my people, are the sentinels. We are called to cry out. And so our voices are carried and carried and made louder and louder, because there's a lot of things that are not okay right now. There's so much human rights abuse taking place in our country, in our world. We know about it. And so it is our responsibility to say, not okay, cry out. And so the message can be carried. And it is. Have y'all noticed that? The message is being carried. So we have to continue to be the sentinels. Lesson five, make sure you eat enough protein to keep your energy up and eat fresh food that is in season as often as possible. Honestly, I have not exactly been eating like a bird during the quarantine. A lot of comfort food has been consumed. My teenage boys and I have actually been baking together. There's actually a really great chocolate cake sitting on that counter right now. I won't show it to you, but it is really delicious. I think my child ate most of it. But so I'm just saying, try to take care of your body. It is very important. Support your local farmers. Eat healthy food. But it's okay to have macaroni and cheese. And it's okay to have chocolate cake for breakfast sometimes. I know when my boy gets up, that's the first thing he's going to. Is the chocolate cake. And I'm okay with that. Just try to balance it out a little bit. Lesson six, sing your song so others can hear it and be confident. Birds learn to trust themselves before they take to the sky. So have faith in your abilities and know that you will find that warm current of air to soar in. Be your self. Think about how boring would the world be if only the best of all the birds sang their one song, or if there was just one bird chirping, just one. How boring would that be? We're such a diverse group of people. We all need to share our gifts. Even if you don't think you're the best at something, still try, still sing. Goodness knows, I am not the best singer. That's why I make sure my mic is always muted. There was an incident. I'll just put it that way. It was not the greatest, but thankfully, church people offer grace, which was very much appreciated. Just saying, be yourself. I love to sing. I love to sing. I'm just not really awesome at it. Love yourself for who you are. That's the point. Lesson seven, perch for a moment and rest when you need a break. All right, this is a tough one for some of us. During the quarantine, we have kind of been forced, many of us, to stop what we normally do. And I am definitely a go, go, go person. You know, like I said, I'm a mom, two teenagers. I've got like a to-do list a mile long. And this pandemic has forced us to kind of perch and rest. So I encourage you to do that. And remember, it's okay. And so this goes for parents, workers, volunteers, family members, justice advocates, retirees, everybody. And I know a lot of us have been working on these virtual worship services. They take a lot of work. They do. And they're awesome. And it's keeping us together. But that's why we all need to pitch in and help. And that's funny that y'all had mentioned that earlier. Pitch in, help out, because some folks are spending like 20 hours a week putting volunteers, some of them, putting together these services. Don't burn yourself out. Help each other and rest when you need to rest. And if someone that you know needs to rest, help them rest too. Let them know. Finally, when you're ready to move on from the branch that you're clinging to, move forward and trust that your wings are going to carry you. There have been times in my life where I had to really dig deep, and trust in God or the universe or whatever you call that thing that is larger than ourselves and holds us and guides us. Or trust in ourselves, in our ability, and let go of the branch. Sometimes we need a little shove. I saw this actually just this morning. I printed it out. Just came up in my Facebook feed. Y'all, I'm all over the Facebook like every day. I don't think I could have survived this pandemic without it. But Pema Chodron, y'all, most of y'all probably know this awesome person, but she wrote, "To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest." Thrown out of the nest. To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. That is frightening, just a little bit, but I think it's true. We kind of, I'd say shoved out of the nest. She's just thrown out of the nest, but y'all get the gist. We gotta be urged out of the nest sometimes to get ourselves going because it is frightening. There's some things that are super frightening. So taking off for the first or the second or the third time can be really scary. And without taking that risk of flight, we won't find that internal freedom that we desire. We must dare to take our feet off of our perch and spread our wings and soar. And I suspect that many of us currently have things in our life or things that we have dealt with in the past that is we are having to kind of test our wings and see if this is something we're going to do. So when I was thinking about this, a few things came to my mind. One, if you have people in your life, this can even be family members, that are not real healthy for you, that's scary that you have to might put them, at least on Facebook, it's called, what's it called? Silencing them. might need to take a little break from them for a little bit. So, or maybe you're in a really unhealthy relationship and you got to end it, or you need more friends. And so you have to look for more friends. That is frightening. Going to church is frightening. I don't know what it was like for y'all when you first like just stepped into a church. Of course, we're not stepping into a church right now, but we will be again one day. But going to church, even gathering in this community, sharing your religious journey, that can be frightening. That is risky. Getting a job, changing a job, retiring. I know a lot of folks right now are, don't even get me started on our teachers. I could write a whole sermon about this, but retiring from your current job, that is frightening. Moving, traveling someday to some place you've never been before. I hope to do that again. A heavy one, this is super, super heavy, but I just felt like I needed to add this, is acknowledging that you have an addiction and deciding to do something about it. I know that during this pandemic, there has been a lot of, many people are struggling with addiction, and it's not as easy to go to a meeting, and it's not as easy to get help. And it takes a tremendous amount of strength and courage, and it's so uncomfortable. So I encourage you to reach out to whomever you can and see if you can get help. And yeah, it's scary, extremely, extremely, extremely scary and risky. But accomplishing something new and unknown is scary, and it requires courage. We see birds flying and we envy them because they took to the sky and they risked failing, but they did it anyway. They speak to us of freedom and determination and passion. I love this quote by Mary Oliver, the great Mary Oliver, the great prophetess Mary Oliver, I would say. I want to think again of dangerous and noble things. I want to be light and frolicsome. I want to be improbable, beautiful. Improbable, beautiful, and afraid of nothing as though I had wings. Life is full of dangerous and noble things, no doubt. But to delight in it and to take it on without fear and with an appreciation for its beauty is like having wings. Elizabeth Tarbox put it beautifully when she said, hollow bones, streamlined feathers, and wings shaped to push aside air are not what make birds fly. It's not. Birds let go of their grasp on safe perches at the tops of trees because something calls to them. They unfold their untried wings and feel an unimagined power. They soar out and up and through the sky because an ancient longing pulls them home, loose from the sticky grasp of earth, free from the snarls of lesser creatures with daggers in their teeth and muscles in their legs. Birds laugh upward, homeward, drawn by a calling which bids them welcome to the sky. Bird, take me with you when you go. Oh, not my lumbering body and my knitted tissue. No, take some other part of me, some invisible soul of me that hears the call that you hear, that moves effortlessly with you through the bright pink silk of dawn and the warm butter spread of morning. Carry my longing to be weightless, to move as light moves, to be unseen, scattered through time and space. Teach me to trust my wings. I pray that we all learn to trust our wings, and that we pay attention to the teachers who are committed to helping us learn how to fly. And when the time comes, fly. May it be so.